of interesting things happening here. Well done.
And thank you for thank you for playing the Church's One Foundation. I don't know whether they're the words you had, but I was thinking a little bit about foundations today. I didn't pick it for us to sing, but then I sat in there thinking, why are they playing that? Thank you so much. Well, nice to be with you on such a lovely, warm Sunday morning. And of course, it was sunny yesterday. I took myself off for a walk, just a short walk across the fields, and the colours and the beauty around, I just was like, whoa. And then I saw a goldfinch and a woodpecker, and then there was one field that was yellow, full of dandelions, and the little clocks, you used to call them dandelion clocks, the little fluffy clocks on top. And I thought, wow, how amazing is the earth? This little song came into my head, I don't know if you remember it. God who made the earth, the air, the sky, who gave the light its birth, careth for me. God who sent his son to die on Calvary, he, if I lean on him, will care for me. When in heaven's bright land I all his loved ones see, I'll sing with that best blessed band, God cared for me. And I'd like to. The variety of greens and the colours and the God who created all of that loves you and me. And he cares about you and me. Isn't that just fantastic? If you take nothing else away from today's service, know that God cares for you as much and beyond you could ever imagine. And the first song I've chosen for us to actually officially sing is to praise him. The heavens praise him. Let's join with them. Praise him, ye heavens, is our first song. Let's sing.
Behold.
Our Heavenly Father, we gather here today to bring you our praise and our adoration, our worship. Father, sometimes we don't feel like singing praises. Sometimes we don't feel like singing at all. And yet we choose to gather here in this place to worship you, the God who never changes, the God who always has promised to supply our every need, the God of wonder, the God of glory, the God who fights our battles. Oh, how we want to praise and magnify your name here in this place today. We thank you that you welcome us just as we are, and we thank you that you don't leave us just as we are, but you want to encourage us, transform us, and enable us to walk the journey of life with you through whatever battles come our way, knowing that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So we thank you, we praise you for this special time we have to share together. We thank you for one another, we thank you for church family, and we most of all thank you for your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was prepared to set aside the glory of heaven and come and live amongst men to declare your glory. And so we commit this time of worship into your hands and ask that you would presence yourself with us and touch our lives afresh as we bring our prayers to you in the name of Jesus, who taught us to share in prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In the letter that Peter wrote, we read these lovely words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's kept in heaven for you, who through faith are kept by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So I would say very simply, here we go, Carol. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. How about that? Thank you, Lord, loving me. And that gets repeated in our next song, so join in with that if you can. I can't do any more of the signs with that bit, but so we're going to sing, thank you Lord, thank you Jesus, thank you Jesus, thank you.
Do you want the chorus after each verse then?
Is there a chorus?
Thank you Jesus.
Oh no, because thank you Lord for loving me is in every verse.
Yeah,
so yeah. Yeah, that's fine, just as it comes. Just as it comes, yeah, just as it comes, thanks. Oopsie. I want it for that reason.
Right.
I thought I'd left it at home and I thought, no, I haven't. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
loving me, regardless, always. Thank you, God, for loving me. Well, got quite a few Bible readings today, because I just think Easter story is so much about Easter story, isn't it? And we only need to kind of think about it in these few weeks. So I'm taking you to the week after Easter today. I'm going to read in two parts, so I'm going to sing in between. The first of all, John 20, starting at verse 19. We'll have a little sing, and then I'll read some more. So, John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'"
Walked in the room and said, "Peace be with you." But he does, even though we can't see him, he comes to say, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw him. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. Do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." You know, I often wonder where he was. I think when I get to see him, I'm going to say, "Where were you, Thomas? Why had you wandered off? Why had they left you all on your own?" For some reason, he wasn't there. Have you ever missed out on something and you're like, "Rats, if only I'd been there." But this is the word, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, I think we would all, now come on, let's face it. If someone said to you, "I saw Jesus in the flesh," you'd be like, "Really? But we saw him crucified." So we've got to be kind to Thomas, because I think he's very normal. People say doubting Thomas, what a horrible label really, because we all have labels perhaps given to us for one little snippet of our lives, and they don't look at the other 50, 60 years of our lives, but that one little snippet, and they give you a label. So take those labels off and let Jesus see the whole of you. Because he says to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I won't believe it." And I think if we're honest, most of us would have had a similar reaction to Thomas. And then a whole week goes past. And so here we are a week after Easter. And it says a week later, the disciples were in the house again, and this time Thomas was with him. So whatever had kept him away, he had come back into the fold, and how fantastic that is when people return into the close proximity of church family. And again, the doors were locked, so they were still very fearful. But Jesus came and stood among them, and again he said, "Peace be with you." You can't lock Jesus out, you know. He's always available to come into any circumstance in your life. And then he actually addresses Thomas directly, and he says to him, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas's simple reply, although amazingly, says, "My Lord and my God," as he connects these two labels of Jesus together. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Well, that's you and me, because we believe in one we haven't seen physically, and yet we know in our hearts to him to be real. Then it continues, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." How amazing that we could get that declaration there recorded. New life in his name, not just for now, but for the whole of eternity, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished.
my Lord and my God, was the simple declaration of Thomas.
Having seen such anguish, having seen such torment, I watched a video, sort of came about, you know when you get these YouTube-y things come through, and I'm so glad I watched it, and I would recommend it to all of you, or if you have a film time, and it's by Open Books, and it was Heaven, How I Got Here. If you've never come across it, I would recommend it to you. I've never been moved by a film as I was like that, and it's about the thief who was on the cross next to Jesus. And he said, Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. And it's his story has been put together. And I have never been so moved by just focusing on what Jesus did. Sometimes we just say, well, Jesus was crucified. But do we really think what that meant? Those nails that were put through his hands. And as I said to the children on our family service, and he couldn't, well, he could have, but he didn't say, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. But those nails on that cross, he did it for you and me. Never underestimate the cost of our salvation and his love for you and for me. And so our next song, as we consider the scars that Jesus had, the evidence of his amazing goodness and love for us, the next two little songs we're going to sing allow us to bring our adoration and love to him for what he means to us today. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this amazing gift. Lord Jesus, you went all the way to Calvary, mockery of a trial, to be nailed to that cross. Oh, the anguish, oh, the pain that you endured. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for taking the punishment that we deserve. Amen. We love you, Lord. Let's sing our next chorus, please. I love you, Lord. Read those words as a prayer. Can we have those words back? I love you, Lord. Let's just read that out. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I'm going to read to you now, carry on with our story in John's Gospel, chapter 21. Bearing in mind what you've already heard this morning, in that Jesus has appeared. These disciples, this is what really struck me about this again this year, that the disciples have encountered the risen Jesus. They've met him. Now, to me, if you've met someone who's come from dead to life, that's going to change your life forever. And wow. And we can all have mountaintop experience where we're thinking, I'm never ever going back to where I came from because this is so fantastic. And then he turns up in a locked room. Wow. Thomas isn't there and he comes again. Wow. He says, I breathe on you the Holy Spirit. Wow. It's all wow, wow, wow. And then you get to chapter 21 of this gospel and it says, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And this is how it happened. So this is the afterwards. I mean, I'm kind of like, I remember when my husband Jim, he got baptized. This is not in the Bible. He was in Corby at the time. And he was so full of the Spirit of God. And he was going like, I'm going to convert Corby. He was full of the fire of the Lord and he was really going for it. But life happens. And when we read in John 21, it says, it happened this way, verse 2. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going fishing. I mean, talk about a contrast. They've just met with the risen Lord Jesus, and he's given them the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're like, let's go fishing. And so I've been thinking about this story again over this Easter time as I was getting ready to come here. He says, I'm going fishing. And his friends said, no, come on, let's go and tell everybody about Jesus. And they don't.
They say,
we'll come with you then. We'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat and they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. And he called to them, friends, haven't you any fish? As if he didn't know. How often do we feel these questions are asked of us in our lives? And it's trying to get us to understand where we are so that Jesus can meet with us where we are. So Jesus says to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him for he'd taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. God cares for you. God cares for me. God cared for them. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. And it was full of large fish, not just little ones, big ones. There was 153, but even with so many, the net wasn't torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And then this bit's followed by that famous encounter of Peter when Jesus comes alongside him, asking him if he loves him, which we'll leave for another time. I've been thinking of this return, this story that we have here, where Peter went back to what he thought he knew how to do it. They've been through this amazing transforming experience, and then he goes back fishing. When was he a fisherman? He was a fisherman before Jesus had called him. So my first question to you this morning is, when was the last time you returned to an old job, an old place, an old situation, or maybe an old habit? Jim and I used to go on holiday, not to be morbid or anything like that, but it helps me to reconnect and to remember good times. And I find the memories are much more fresh in my mind when you revisit the place, because you think, oh yeah, I remember going down there. It seems to come alive, make an extra dimension to a photograph. But we go back to things for all sorts of reasons. We can't actually, of course, turn back the clock. But when we return to places, we can perhaps recalibrate our thoughts. I've got a load of re's here. Recalibrate, refocus, recall, reconnect, restore, relive something we really enjoyed. All sorts of reasons that we can return to places where we've been before. We could remember perhaps a sense of belonging or being needed, being chosen and loved and useful, having a purpose, being appreciated, having a particular identity, wanting to feel alive without the pains of disappointment, shutting out the present pain and loss to recreate a different place in our lives, recalling happier times when we were very much loved, when our dreams and expectations were still alive. You see, we all have our own agendas. We all have our own expectations as to how life's going to turn out. And I know for one, Jim and I had so many plans for our retirement, and then, of course, we never got there.
Well,
I haven't got there yet. He would have been, although he doesn't age now, does he? So, but, you know, we have our own agendas, don't we? We all think what we're going to do next week, next month, next year. We never know what's round the corner. But Jesus is. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, Jesus is. And so, although we can still return, this is what I felt Simon Peter was doing here. He'd lost his master, he'd lost his Lord. All his plans and hopes for how Jesus was going to transform the world had been dashed. He'd seen him crucified. He'd seen him buried. He'd even seen him come back to life. Oh, but he'd let him down, hadn't he? He'd let him down so badly in that. Did you know Jesus? No. 3 times he denied him before that cock crowed. And he was heartbroken because he couldn't undo what he had done. And so often we try and go back in the past, perhaps to undo or replay or refix things that have happened to us. But you can't change it. You can only live with it and move forwards. And so we find here, I believe, Peter in a place where he's looking for that fresh encounter. Do you remember when he first met Jesus? If we look in Luke's gospel, it tells us how there, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him, listening to the word. And there were 2 boats at the water's edge, and the fishermen were washing the nets. And Jesus gets into one of the boats. Oh, by the way, it belonged to Simon, Peter. It was called Simon then. And he says to Simon, put out a little bit from the shore. And he sat down and taught the people. When they'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, go on out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. But Simon said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they'd done that, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And that was where his relationship with Jesus started. Because at the end of that story, it simply says, he left everything and followed him. So to me, Peter's trying to rekindle that memory when he was chosen, when he was picked by Jesus, and to reconnect with him because he'd let him down so badly. We all have a story that doesn't always go according to our plans. We all let people down or the Lord down, but does he turn his back on us? He never, ever does he? But to start with, we've got to acknowledge where we are so that Jesus can minister into our individual needs. There in that boat back in Luke's gospel, Simon Peter came to that point, Lord, I'm a sinful man. I need your forgiveness. I need your restoration. And so we find Simon Peter going back, perhaps to do what he always used to do, but he realizes without God he couldn't do that either because he still didn't catch anything. But he encounters Jesus. He encounters Jesus in the midst of his despair. And time again, we often look to people and things for consolation, for comfort, for compassion, for care and acceptance. But Jesus says, come to me. I am the source of life for you. I will supply your every need. Whatever agenda you have, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, were I organised, you would have had a picture now to put up there, but you haven't got one because I haven't been organised. So I grabbed this on the way out by way of illustration. At least it's big enough for you to see a bit of it. And it even says it's Corby and Kettering on it. Ooh, look at that. So what do I have here, folks? The wrong way up. But you can get a bit like that with maps, can't you? Which way up is it? Where am I going? The thing is, whether you could read a map or not, what I was going to do is bring you a picture that I've got somewhere of, you know, when you're out walking through woodlands and it says there's the path that way and there's a path that way, and you think, well, I want to get over there, but the most important thing is you're trying to look for is a little label that says you are here. Yeah, because that's what I often have a problem with these. You're like, I know where I want to go, but where am I? Because if you don't know where you actually are on the map, then you don't know which direction to go in to get there. And I'm really very grateful now for GPS, because my problems when I walk in the Lake District was always trying to work out exactly where I was to measure the distance along the path, because you know you've got to turn left at some point, but have I walked far enough yet to go that way? So always I feel the most important part of a map is not particularly where you want to get to, but where you are right now. And of course GPS allows us to find that out now, and I can use my little sat nav to follow myself where I'm going and get on the right path. And my car often goes beep, 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 you've missed it, turn around and go back. But it knows where we are. And I wonder today, friends, whether, as I've been meditating on this, God is saying to you, as he said to me, where are you right now? I don't mean physically sitting here in church, but where are you right now in your walk with God, in your relationship with Jesus? Maybe you're on the top of the mountaintops. You're full of the joys of spring and you're out there evangelizing and sharing your faith. Or maybe you're in the depths of despair or in a place of saying, Lord, I just don't understand. Life's a mystery to me. I just don't know how to face tomorrow. And so we try and perhaps look backwards and find a more comfortable spot. But wherever we are, wherever you're going to put a dot on your map of life, this story says very simply to me, wherever you are, so is Jesus. Wherever you are, so is Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, they've gone off fishing, I'll go and get somebody else. He met them where they are. And that's the simple heading that I gave to this message today. You are here, Jesus says, me too. You are here, me too. Wherever you are, Jesus will come and meet with you. And if you don't know where you are and you can't acknowledge to him where you are, then he can't minister to your deepest, deepest need. So going back is not always giving up. Going back sometimes helps us, as it helped Peter, to find his faith again, to help him to understand his circumstances, to renew his faith and connection with Jesus. So I wrote down here, very simply, back to basics. Back to basics. I remember my father saying to me, years and years and years ago, that when you get to a place when you're reading this book, or you're going through life and you're like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it anymore. There's so much in here that we'll never understand until we see him face to face. And he says, whenever you get to that place, go back to the basics. And what are the basics? Well, Jesus lived. He is a historical figure that lived over 2,000 years ago. Jesus died. Fact. Jesus rose again. Fact. Look at all these eyewitness accounts that we have. And let's face it, if the Romans could have found the body and produced it, they would have. People saw Jesus alive. Think of the scars in your life where Jesus has helped you to get through and move forwards. Back to basics. Hold on to the basics. Simon Peter went back to the basics and he met with Jesus afresh. Who's cut in on you? Who's stopped you on the race that you are running? Because wherever you're at, Jesus wants to be there too. In Galatians we read, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Who stopped you in your tracks? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So where do you go when you're feeling lost, when you can't face the world or what's around you or your circumstances? Time and again we go to other people. People are great, but they're not as great as Jesus. What about the TV or shopping or, this is my one, busyness? Lose yourself in busyness so you don't have to face the reality around. And sadly, other people find own solace in drugs and gambling and all sorts of things. Where Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I promise to supply your every need. And there's a lovely chorus that says, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. I'm loved by Jesus. Do you know your love this morning, friends? Because he wants you to know his love. God cares for you. Get back to the foundational truths and live on them. My final reference, because I don't like to just preach from the New Testament, I do like to mention the Old Testament as well. And there's a lovely story in the Old Testament. I'm not going to read it to you, just mention it. It's in 2 Kings, chapter 6. And In the old King James Version, there's a lovely phrase, and it's this. It says, "And the iron did swim." How about that? "And the iron did swim." I don't mean one of these irons. Now there's a question for you. Where's that in the Bible? "And the iron did swim." Got the hogs going around now, haven't we? "The iron did swim." There was a man. You got it? Well done, you! Absolutely fantastic. Yes, it was in 2 Kings chapter 6, and there was a man who borrowed an axe. And they were going to extend the temple to build a new place to worship in, and Elisha went with them, and it says, as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and the man says, "Oh my Lord," or words to that effect, "it was borrowed." He was in a place of despair. His axe head had fallen into the water. Now, does an iron sink? So he'd gone, he'd lost it. "Oh my Lord," he said, "it was borrowed." And the man of God asked him a question, which I ask you today. Where did it fall? Where did you lose your axe head? Where did you drop it? Where did you lose that amazing cutting edge power that you had? And it says in here that he showed Elisha, and Elisha cut a stick and threw it in the water. And the Niv, it doesn't have such poetic license, does it? It just says the iron floated. But he got his axe head back. But the King James Version says, "And the iron did swim." I love that picture of the iron. Just imagine that. The laws of nature don't apply when you're dealing with the God who created all things. So where are you, my friends, today, in the wider scheme of things on your journey with Jesus? Who's cut in on you? Let's get back to basics and share this amazing faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because wherever you are, he's there too. And he wants to help you. And he wants to help you swim like the iron did. Go back to where you lost your cutting edge. Perhaps you haven't lost it. Then help somebody else to find their cutting edge too. Don't give up. Keep going in the strength of the Lord. There's an old hymn that came to my mind, and it says this. I'm going to read it to you. "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet the memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never, ever fill. Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whatever idol be, help me tear it from the throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm, serene my frame, so pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb." Glory to his name. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy presence today, acknowledging your greatness, your wonder, your power, your all-knowing God, we ask that you'd help us to acknowledge where we truly are in our own lives, in our own journey, with our own agendas, with our own expectations, some expectations of being dashed. Father, we thank you for your promise that wherever we are, you will come alongside us. But even as you said to Adam in the garden, "Where are you?" It wasn't that you didn't know where he was, it was just that he needed to say where he was. Oh, holy dove, oh, Holy Spirit, minister to us in our deepest need this morning, we pray. For we love you and we seek to serve you. But without you, we are nothing. And yet with you, we know that all things are possible. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge our true state, that you can minister to our deepest need. And as we pray this for ourselves, we all have friends and loved ones with differing needs around us.
some perhaps who loved you once and have drifted far away, and some who have never ever sought you out. And as we bring these individuals into our minds, we pray for them, that they may have a fresh encounter with your Spirit, and that you might help us to minister into their lives with the love that we have found in you. We bring before you friends and loved ones who are sick, suffering, struggling, praying that you would minister to their every need. Think of the wider world and community, and we do pray for peace. We pray for all those who seek to serve you, that they might be bold to stand up for what they know is truth. We pray for the upcoming elections, that people of your choosing might be elected, that this land might once again be known as a Christian land, where your name is honoured, where your will is obeyed. And in the quietness now, we bring all our prayers and concerns to thee, knowing that you are a God who hears and who is present with your people. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Father, that you have a plan for each of our lives, and one day we will understand why the dark threads are so needful, as well as the gold in our tapestry of life. We thank you that you are ever present. May we know that nearness every moment of every day, knowing that you will never leave us or forsake us and will uphold us when we truly invite you into every part of our lives. And even when you don't, you're still there waiting, knocking on our heart's door. We thank you for your love and your patience with us. And we commit ourselves and our friends and loved ones to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now to close, we're going to sing and acknowledge the basics of our faith, that we know that our Redeemer lives. But I've smashed it together with another hymn, and so we're going to sing three extra verses on the end that will be a prayer as we move forwards into the week ahead. And so we start with the words of, I know that my Redeemer lives, but there'll be three extra verses on the end, please. And so keep going. Let's sing together. that we need as you declared, I am is with you to the end of the age and beyond. So help us, Lord, to cast our care upon thee, knowing that you care for us. Help us to run the straight race. Help us to know in our hearts that you have a plan and you will fulfill it through us when we seek to follow you moment by moment. So we commit ourselves afresh to your care and keeping and pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us and all those we love and care and pray for, now and forevermore. Amen.